The text for this morning's meditation comes to us from the Old Testament lesson book of Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah and has him write it down, "No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord." This is our text for today. Dear friends in Jesus, you all know that I'm a bit of a space cadet, don't you? Not that I'm, scatterbrained. Well, that too, but what I mean is I really like to talk about space, outer space. I watch all of the shows on TV that have to do with the solar system, you know, where our planets are and our galaxy and even beyond. I find all of that stuff up there to be simply mind-boggling. Take, for instance, the cover of today's folder. In the upper left-hand corner, you've got a picture of what's called the Pillars of Creation. This is a strange-shaped cloud of dust and gas, and it's huge. It's monstrous. It's about 4 light-years tall. That's pretty tall. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. So you can do the math here. Multiply that by the number of seconds in a year. And then remember that this cloud is 4 of those. Huh. Probably in the neighborhood of 24 trillion miles. It's a big thing. Then notice how the box is located there in the center picture. That's where, inside of the Eagle Nebula, the Pillars of Creation are located. You get some idea from that how large the Eagle Nebula is. And then the yellow lines that lead from the Eagle Nebula down into the picture in the lower left shows just where in the night sky the Eagle Nebula is to be found. As it turns out, it's barely a speck among the zillions of stars that we see in the night sky. And we're supposed to believe what some people say, that it all got there as a result of some grand accident, that there was a huge explosion that happened way back about 16 billion years ago, and then all of the dust and smoke and gas created by that explosion wandered about in the universe, and there was a lot of it. Anyway, after time, it kind of came together here and there. In some places, it made large lumps or balls. In fact, that's how our 8 planets are said to have gotten there. Our sun, by the way, is such a ball. It caught on fire. It's been burning there for billions of years, and it's said to keep burning for a couple of billion more. Most all of the stars in the sky, by the way, are quite like our own sun. Now, in some places, this dust and smoke, as it gathered together, just made funny-shaped clouds. In fact, all of the nebulas that are located out there in the sky are these kinds of clouds, and there are scores, if not hundreds, of them. Now, I don't know about you, but to my way of thinking, it takes a much greater leap of faith to buy into that. You know, these myriads of coincidental encounters here and there and everywhere, than it does to believe that a sovereign God put it all there because he wanted to. Being all powerful, he was able to, and so he did. In fact, there are people in the world today who say there is no God. They will say, given enough time, bazillions of years, it was possible for Mother Nature to do all of that stuff out there in the sky by herself. took a little trial and error, took a little luck, took a lot of patience, but they say it's possible. Could have happened all by itself. But the fact remains, there's a lot of difference between possibility and probability. Consider a couple of examples. Let's say you take a watch apart. You know, one of those old-time watches got a bunch of little gears and wheels and springs and whatnot in it. You throw all the parts in a paper bag. Then you shake the bag and you look down in there, and all the parts of the watch are down there, laying on the bottom. And so you close it and you shake it again and look, and they're still all down in there, albeit they're in a different configuration this time. It is conceivable, it is possible, with one shake, that those parts would all fall back together and make a working watch. You know, they're all there and they fall differently every time. It certainly is possible. Take a little trial and error, perhaps, a little luck, a lot of patience, maybe. But it's possible. Or think about this. Put a monkey in a cage with a typewriter and a big stack of paper. It's possible that that monkey, fiddling with the typewriter and the paper and whatnot, pushing on the keys, could, if given enough time, type out the Constitution of the United States. It might take a little trial and error, might take a little luck, probably take a lot of patience, but you know, it's possible. Both of these examples are within the realm of possibility. But what is the probability of those things happening? How likely is it that either of those situations would develop? They could, remember. It's not impossible, but how much would you be willing to bet on the next shake of that paper bag? Or on the millionth shake of the paper bag, or the billionth shake of the paper bag? How much would you be willing to bet that the monkey would finish his task in a year, or 100 years, or 1,000 years? No one in his right mind believes that either of those things would happen. Not now, not in a million years, not ever. So also, no one in his right mind believes that there is no God. It's simply unthinkable. Every human being knows in his or her heart that God exists. Jeremiah says so in our text for today. Remember, he's recording the words of God himself. God says, "They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." All people in the world know that God exists. There are some who say he doesn't exist, but they know. They know in the pit of their hearts that he does, because God put that knowledge of his existence there, from the least of them to the greatest. That's what he says. Now, there's a huge difference between knowing that God exists and knowing what he's like. Everybody knows he exists, but is he happy or is he angry? Is he friendly or antisocial? Is he peaceful or a warrior or kind or caring? Is he gracious or is he a tyrant? Well, we know. We know what he's like, don't we? That's why he gave us the Bible. He gave us the Bible to describe himself to us. He gave us his holy word to define his love and mercy toward us. He gave us his holy word to tell us of his desire to have us with him forever in paradise and to explain how he made it possible for us to do so. That information, folks, is not written in the hearts of all people. It's discoverable, but only through God's holy word. That's why we teach it from early on. That's why we study it together all through our lives. That's why we read it in our worship service. That's why our hymns are derived from it. This God that everyone knows exists is forgiving of all of our wrongdoings. He is patient to a fault, if that's possible. He is so for the sake of his only Son, Jesus Christ, the one who lived a perfect and sinless life and then paid the price for sin by dying. Not for his own sin, because he didn't have any of his own, but for the sins of mankind, yours and mine and everyone's. Then his heavenly Father offers that forgiveness to all who believe in his Son and to all who believe in what he did for them. And it's free. It's unconditional and it's complete. So when we look into the night sky and see the proof that God exists, and since we know now what kind of a person he is, we have all that we need. We have all that we need to be comforted in the course of our lives here on earth as we bask in his benevolent provision and as we benefit from his promise to hear and to answer our prayers. We know what kind of person he is. And because of that, we have all that we need to be secure in our futures beyond this world, based on the promise of eternal life that God makes to us and then guarantees it, validates that guarantee by the empty tomb of Easter morning. The people of this world, folks, are so close. They already know that God exists. All they need is a little information about what he's like. And we have that to share with them. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that we have, knowing that he exists and knowing what he is capable of doing, may that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.